This is Gavin Duffy, the main speaker. Excuse me. Sorry.
I went to Gavin Duffy today with a start. But you know what? I think it's a good thing that we're going to learn to get by without banks. To actually not just live within our means in business, I think it's very important. You know, like when I think back, the overdrafts used to run in businesses. You know, like I'm talking about quarter million, half million, no, actually, you know, and therefore you're not chasing up debts as much. You know, like it was free money. I'll never. Now, by the way, I was also a private banking client.
Week again and go there. Things that you would have never expected to happen hit you, and never with notice, and so on. So you have to be able, you know, that's why I love this word, innovate. You have to be an adapter. You have to be able to adapt to the new circumstances, react to things. And you just have to be with it, living with it 24/7. Right? That's what it is. That's what business is about. And I think, as I said, we're now going to sort of do, the business model will change and we'll do business differently. But you know why you might be worried about setting up a business in these times? Because if you're listening and reading Ireland's national media, they have convinced you this country is beaten. They have convinced you this country is going down the toilet. Now, these are the facts that you don't hear on RTE. In this year, 2012, in the middle of a global recession that's hitting America as much as it's hitting Europe and the rest of the world, in this recession, American multinationals, US multinationals, invested $34 billion in Ireland. Wow. Now, if you're a global watcher, you will know that it's all talk of the BRIC countries at the moment. That's where the growth is. Brazil, Russia, India, China. How much did US multinationals invest in the BRIC countries combined this year? Now, they put over $30 billion into Ireland. How much would you say they put into those countries? Come on, give a guess, pick. 100. Okay. Any investment in 100? $6
billion. Pardon? I think he said $6 billion. His mic has just gone down.
If you don't mind, I'll let Dave just play around with my posterior for a moment. And so on. It's going to kick he gets, actually. but where was I? I was talking about, isn't that, I don't mean to talk down Ireland, but like, we are a rock off the edge of Europe. I mean, you know, with just a few million people. And more than $30 billion is being invested by US multinationals. I mean, this is real money into Ireland. And all of those other countries put together are getting $6 billion. So $5 coming to Ireland for every $1 they're putting into Brazil, China, India, and Russia. Now, why are they doing that? They're doing that because this country is the gateway to Europe. Let's not get carried away about that. I know it's because we think we're lovely people and we're incredibly handsome and good looking and things like that. Look, the reality is we speak English. We're in the Eurozone, the only ones who do. You know what I mean? Well, the Dutch speak it better than us. But, like, you know, but, and who got the most money from the US? The Dutch. You know what I mean? But we are the gateway to Europe. So this country is doing very, very well in awful circumstances. I'm not sort of trying to snow job it here, right? But we are on the path to recovery. Oh, but like, you know, the national media. I am convinced When the history of this recession comes to be recorded, it will be noted that Ireland's national media deepened, widened, and prolonged this recession. I'm convinced. Their constant negativity is not, and it's killing our domestic economy. So it's coming up to Christmas. Bet you know I've done your Christmas shop. You're scared to spend money. She's like, we've a budget coming up. Sure, RT starts talking about it in March. Tell you it's the worst budget out there, but it gets to April. No, it's actually worse than that. And by, right. Yeah, and look, just because RTE Radio 1's schedule, just in fairness to them, I have to sort of, just because they've designed it to observe the Geneva Human Rights Convention on torture, right? No, because when you're torturing somebody, apparently you have to give them a rest, right? So like RTE's schedule is designed to scare the life out of you and torture you, then give you a little break, then scare you again, then, because that way it's more intense, the scaring, if you're getting a bit of breaks, we taught you to scare. So like 7 o'clock in the morning it starts, right? And on come the presenters and more. What did they say at 7? You've listened. They said, good morning. And then they spend 2 hours telling you there's absolutely nothing good about it, right? So you're depressed by 9 o'clock. Then John Murray comes down and plays again, you get a bit of a rest, then it's back on 10 o'clock, right? Today with Pat Kenny, which should be named, there's no tomorrow with Pat Kenny, right?
He's walking.
You now
the
sort
room,
of need
right?
to take pills, you know what I mean? And then sort of rolling positive. There's a hit from 60, 70. Yeah, good. Then the 1 o'clock news comes on. Ireland is to close next Tuesday. Of course, then they have to change the schedule. You should get a rest, but then it's straight into Joe Duffy because you now need to talk about it. You need to lie in a dark room, follow Joe and say, Joe, terrible, right? Now, you're probably lucky enough to be out working, so you're... Could you imagine if you're listening to that all day, right? And then you come home, 9 o'clock news. In fact, Ireland won't close on Tuesday. It's closing Monday. Oh, my God. And then they have those primetime... Well, when they used to have primetime investigates, great titles, Last one out, turn out the lights. Oh, that was a great one. That was really positive. Yeah, banjaxed, and stuff like that. And that's why you're lying awake in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., worrying about yourself, the mortgage, when the kids have a job. Actually, the real reason you're lying awake is, gluttons, what is it like? What do you do before you go to bed? Don't you? Yeah, switch over to TV3, and there's Mr. Happy, Vincent Brown. And he has your man, the Russian lad, every other night with the leather jacket. What's his name? Constantly regurgitates is what I call him, right? He keeps going on, we need to burn the bondholders. He wants Ireland to go bust because, it's nostalgia. As a kid, he grew up in Moscow queuing for bread. Of course he wants to go back. I don't want to go there, right? This thing about promissory notes, this is actually what's happening. The Germans, God bless them, lend money to the ECB, who lend it to us, and then we give it back to the Germans to keep their banks going out. Oh, that's awful. At some stage, Angela's going to say, why don't we just give the money to our banks and cut out the... And we're gone. Because here we are this morning, all excited, Cork innovates, and it's a great thing and all of that, right? By the time Frankie Sheehan stands up to talk, sorry, I don't mean to put a dampener, it's not your fault, Frankie, but by the time Frankie stands up to talk, we'll have borrowed another 9 million euro today to keep the lights on. So, we're in a... And we have to actually stay with the programme. Now, by the way, this is not me being political, because in 2007, I'll be honest, I voted Fianna Fáil. Right, I thought, devil, sort of thing, right? I did, right? I wasn't impressed with them, okay, right? So when it came to that, I was asked, I was approached, I got involved with Enda Kenny, just for the election. Don't care what the media say about him, he is the luckiest person I have ever met, okay? And as Napoleon would say, you need lucky generals, right? I was involved with the election, he did 3 debates. Now, this is Enda. He got drew lots, and he got the middle seat or podium 3 times. Paddy Power would not give you odds on that, right? That's Enda, right? He just becomes Taoiseach and Obama says, next time I'd like to come over and do a bit of Irish stuff. The Queen, all of this stuff going on, it should have been somebody else's day. Bertie didn't get it. Tony Blair didn't. Nope. Enda. Oh, jeez. Boom, boom. Yeah, so he's lucky.
And I think they're a great double act. Noonan, you know, Arthur.
No, I can't do that, no. The comedy wouldn't approve that, Angela. You know what I mean? And then end it, Angela, I love you. But to the Irish media, Aconair, wasn't it great? You see, the media would say, well, hang on, Gavin. We need to inform the people of Ireland of all the bad things. News is something you didn't know, isn't it? So why do we keep being our country's in an awful state? Like that's news. They've been telling us that every day on the hour for 5 years now, right? So, like, tell me something new. Tell me, you know, you saw one of our banks going back to the markets yesterday, Bank of Ireland. We will be back in the markets successfully in the next 12, 18 months, right? Problems aren't over, but we're on the right track. And I believe if we had all of Ireland with its shoulder to the wheel together, look, I'm involved, I'm doing my little bit for the gathering up in County Louth. Yeah, but of course
it's the northeast coast.
Have you ever
Ireland,
noticed
County
when he comes
Louth.
Back to Ireland, he always has to up the Jackeen accent to sound like a man of the people? So apparently, according to Gabriel, I'm scamming people in the United States. This is the only thing I know about the gathering. A lady called Rachel Stanton, a partner in William Fry Solicitors, who I do a bit of work. She phones me a few months back and she says, Gavin, my sister works in Boston and the Boston Entrepreneurs Organization is doing Europe this year and they're going to Hanover. But she feels if we could make a bit of a play, they might come to Ireland. All right, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, all right. So anyway, we got involved and we now have 76 entrepreneurs coming next May to Drogheda, Dundalk. They're going for a day trip to Belfast and they're doing some stuff at the Guinness Storehouse.
I must 76. Tap into that.
11
that
of them are Irish. So there's what, 65 people coming who would have never, and these are high net worth business people. You know, that's, we're only trying to, like you can, you know, blow out the candle and curse the darkness, or we can actually work through this. And I know we keep hearing from the media about austerity. Wouldn't it be much better if we called it mortgaging your children's future? Because, you know, we can't keep living beyond our means because we have to keep borrowing more, putting more debt onto our children and grandchildren. So as soon as we... Now, here's the challenge for all of you. It'll be the next general election. Because though I admire Enda very much, I think at that stage we need a table kicker in Europe. Somebody who won't blink first will say, now look, we've done all of this stuff, but if we, you know, having a deal, but it has to be somebody who's prepared to turn over the apple cart, or as Bertie would say, upset the apple tart, right? But look, that's what's needed. But I was saying, like, about the positivity. When the Queen came to this city, wasn't that fun? Wasn't there a whole bunch of...
That's the Queen of England.
Right? But like, that lady bowing in the Garden of Remembrance, wow. And Obama the same week. Wasn't that fantastic? You know, I think Irish people love a bit of... We're positive people. The happy index has stayed up despite all of this negativity. Right? And my wife is with me today, Orla. Orla and myself... We're not compatible in our bedroom. It's just, maybe it's an age, sorry. The incompatibility is, Orla as a child must have been sent to bed early an awful lot. So now that she's an adult, she refuses to go to bed before 12 o'clock, right? Whereas I, for some reason, am up very early and go to work at 5:30. Now, I don't mean that, you know, to be successful, you have to be at your desk at 5:30, because I'm telling you, by 7:30 in the evening, I'm sort of nodding, you know, so like, but just, that's my body clock. Orla has a different body. So, we're lying in the bed, 2010, elbow in the back. You know, when you've gone into a deep sleep, you don't know where you are. Elbow in the back, she has the telly on in the bedroom. There's another one coming up. What's she on about? I look at it, oh yeah, Chile. It's the miners. Come on, oh yeah, yeah. Oh, and I hear, oh, she's been down there for 69 days. Oh, she was great in Orla. Isn't this great? I said, oh yeah, yeah. I have a meeting at 7 in the morning. Yeah, oh, great. So I go off to bed. But as I'm nodding off, my last thought before I slip back into slumber is, thanks be to God they're in Chile. Could you imagine if they were in Tara Mines? Do you think the Joe Duffy Show could stay positive for 69 days? Come on, be honest. Now, for the first 3 weeks, it'd be great crack. They'd be saying, Karen, you played centre half with Tom. We've got a line down to be all that sort of buzzy stuff. But somebody in RTE would say, hang on a second, the country's far too positive now. Far too positive. We need to. And the research would be told, find somebody. And they always do. Usually from Finglas. Joe. I'm not sure we want those miners brought up, Joe. They tell why they're down in the dark and dank of Tara Mines. They're down there now 40 days and 40 nights, and you don't want them brought up. Well, it's not me, Joe. It's my sister who he's married to. Doesn't want them brought up. Pray tell why? Well, he's a wife beater. They'd find something to kill it, right? I don't know why they do this, but they do. And what I'm asking you here today, you cannot run a business and be listening to that stuff. So I'm asking you, go on a diet. When you're now, people say, well, Gavin, no, hang on a second. I mean, I could miss something if I'm not following it all the time. You know, if the Eurozone goes bust, somebody will text you. You know what, you're not going to miss it. You know what, in this career, you don't have to be watching it round the clock and so on, right? So, to wrap up, I do need you to stop listening to the negative baloney. I do need you to say, I can only control what's within myself. And you know what's the very best way to control something? To be your own boss. It's not easy. But here's the thing, why I love Cork Innovates is it's very lonely being an entrepreneur. In fact, you know, I know all the universities are trying to promote it. I think it's a bloody disease. Do you know, like, I'm a serial entrepreneur because I kept getting sacked. Now, I wasn't sacked because I was a bad employee, but I always thought there was a better way to run the business. And I'd be only in it a month, and they'd be going up to the boss and say, do you know what, if we moved that to that, then we could sacrifice. I'd say, yeah, you know, and of course then I'd rub somebody there. I'd go over the head of my line manager, and next thing, I'd be, there's the door. And so I had no choice. But one thing I did discover when I did go into business is, it's very lonely. No, it's really lonely. No, it's longer than that. And that's what I think it's very important that Cork Innovates, which is a great initiative from the county and the city councils, enterprise, because sometimes the maze of agencies can look daunting to you if you're setting up a business. And the fact that they're all now coordinating here in Cork, but the important thing that John Mullins said was that we have also access to people who want to help and mentor. Now, why do they do that, John? Why does somebody who's successful in the business give themselves free to it? Because you know what? Every business I've ever been involved in, the number of times I've said, I wish somebody would have told me that. You know what I mean? If you can short